Coming up on AI Having a Clue.
There's no emoji for AI. I think we should start a campaign to get an emoji for AI.
Look. I don't really understand this. So
Sam Altman has a tantrum, and it's not because of Elon.
Another quite scary thing.
Yeah.
This week's been full of...
It really is, isn't it?
Kind of scary things. We talk about our own personal AI agents.
Oh, he's cross. He's good against the paper. And we have a brand new listener question from you. We can't all have robo dogs like we've got in Barnsley.
Hello, welcome to AI Having a Clue. I am AI novice George Bartlett, and this is the podcast that explores the wild world of AI, where, much like the Winter Olympics, we have twists, turns, changes at breakneck speed, and an amazing collection of helmets. Hi, James Chandler.
These are tortured now, aren't they? That's a shame. That's how you greet the podcast AI expert now, is it? A helmet.
Or as you said last week, ChatGPT.
Nah, I've binned it. Binned that routine. Just moving it on.
Oh, welcome to the show. On the way today, we've got all the latest news from the world of AI. And as ever, it's eclectic. I mean, we are talking vending machines. We're talking Super Bowl ads. What else have we got coming up?
It's got everything.
The EU telling Super Bowl ads, and also about how AI might not be reducing work after all. Plus, we've also got a brilliant listener question, James's big thing. I've got a question for you as well.
Have you?
Later. I've got a question for you later.
Email in. Thank you.
Do we win a t-shirt? Before we get there, James, I see you are now a new columnist.
Oh, God, I thought you were... Oh, it's embarrassing. It's backfired that someone's mentioned it. Yeah, monthly columnist.
You love it, don't you?
The Media Leader, writing about AI and marketing. Two hats on.
Yep.
My job at the IB. And also my job as co-host on the podcast.
Not enough plugs in the article for my liking.
Are you
for
joking?
The podcast now.
There was about 8,000.
Yeah, I want more.
I barely mentioned my own employer.
Can you add a link to listen up to the bottom of it? Now, just... we're going to get into something here. Before we do, can you give everybody just a bit of an essence of what was covered in the article?
I was talking about AI slop, and I was, I guess, putting into words much of the debate that we have here, reflecting, I guess, your point of view, which is the more slop there is, the harder it is for the proper stuff to cut through. And then my slightly glass half full point of view, which is, well, you know, there's always been stuff that's subjectively good or bad and some stuff I sort of quite like. And I sort of had a quite balanced argument, basically saying maybe now has never been a better time to cut through and do things differently because slop tends to sort of all look the same.
So, James, following that article, we've had an email from a big dog in the audio world, James Cridlands. He's an audio futurologist, and I've met James a few times, and James has got in touch because he thinks perhaps citation is needed when it comes to inception point AI, who you write about in the article. Now, we've had Janine Wright on the show. James and I have our differences when it comes to inception point AI.
This certainly, James, me James.
Well, you James.
All the James.
James might be slightly more alive than me.
Got it, yeah.
When we had Janine Wright on the show, it was really interesting, quite punchy at times, but fascinating. Listen, perhaps James Cridland, hello if you're listening, should listen to that because I think it's quite a balanced interview, whereas you're definitely more, as you would say, half glass full when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. Now, James's points, I think, are all very valid. I'll read them out. He wants to know what they're counting as a time frame for a measurement of a listen and listeners. Is it by day, week, month, or year? What counts as a download? Are their downloads IAB compliant? Are the right people listening? And his final point is, if people are junking the show, as he says, after a few seconds, would this still count as a listen? And what does it mean for the advertiser if that is happening? So he says, if they're producing 3,200 episodes a week, then if each episode gets 7 downloads, they can claim tens of thousands of weekly downloads. But running a podcast myself on my own hardware, I know how many AI scrapers are downloading my show, pretending that they are a web browser, which is valid traffic, but never heard by a human.
Right.
So James claims Janine is a crafty operator. And I guess he's questioning whether or not, you know, those credentials are super, super valid. Now, James, Mr. Cridland, he raises some very valid points. what would your response be?
Well, I would gently say that it's based on a conversation with her, and we didn't interrogate the numbers, but you know, they sort of sound interesting. Right to ask some questions about them, but I wouldn't get too into the weeds about it. It gets very, very specific. I feel like Janine is quite polarizing, particularly to sort of radio/podcast people.
Oh, yours truly.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting that you both had the same reaction. He says she's a crafty operator. I mean, I think she's pretty smart. She had a big job at Wondery. She's clearly got a business that's in growth. If you follow her progress, you might not like it, but yeah, seems to be doing quite well. Yeah, maybe it does need a bit more scrutiny, but I don't know. Feels like James might have made his mind up already about Janine Wright's inception point.
As you know, I do come from the same school of thought when it comes to
you radio AI stuff lads.
I think there is an element of we know, as you now do with this podcast and the others that you're involved with, what goes into making a podcast with care. I know the listeners are laughing. This isn't made with care.
This one, yeah.
No, but seriously, what goes into making a broadcast or into a podcast when it's made with humans and care and thought? And I do really understand that the points that James raises. I have the same issues and concerns myself. I guess from your side of the fence, you're looking into the future. You're looking at what impact AI content might have on the media landscape. And as I said, a few weeks ago when we had Janine on the show, I also don't necessarily believe it's going to, in the long run, survive and become a thriving business. Now, yeah. I think having doubts and skepticism is fine, but you are also entitled to look into the future and to kind of see how we might be consuming media in the years to come.
And I think whether their business model is that they're using AI to create episodes is one thing, but, you know, podcasts produced by any big, you know, traditional in high standing publisher could experience exactly the same things that he's talking about around measurement. It could be bots that are listening to it. It could be AI scrapers downloading the show, pretending that they're a web browser. Like, whether it's created by AI or not, in my mind, you know, this is like just a podcasting industry problem. It's not a AI created podcast problem. I think the way it's created and then how you're measuring it, I think we have to be careful that they're two separate things. He seems very hung up on the numbers that she cited, which, yeah, we should scrutinise, but as much as we should scrutinise ones from other longer-standing publishers, perhaps.
Well, of course, we do have 6 million listeners every day to us.
Exactly.
So I don't think we should scrutinise that closely.
Yeah, most of them in Barnsley. The Barnsley numbers have gone through the roof this week.
The new UK tech town. listen to last week's episode for that joke. Now, final word on it. I do, I think it's a really interesting topic. I think we are right to debate it. I think different viewpoints is totally acceptable. I have that long-running issue with the fact that it's AI presenters, AI generated content, no hand of a human involved in any of the content at all, which is problematic in my mind, knowing what we know about hallucinations, etc. But on the flip side, you only have to open TikTok to see that AI generated content, some might say AI slop, is delivering numbers. So that's the other side of the argument. It's there for us all to see. AI content is generating numbers. And I think whilst we need to fact check everything, the proof is kind of out there.
Maybe. Can I tell you my best part that I liked about the email?
Yeah.
Hey, James, I enjoyed your post on the Media Leader. I really like that bit.
But honestly, though, Mr. Cridlin, if James is listening right now, it's too many Jameses. Thank you for having a discussion about it and raising those points. I think it's one of those topics that is really, it's important to debate and it's important to talk about, like a lot of this stuff in AI. And I don't think there's no bad thing in having a debate about this sort of stuff. It's good. It's good to talk about it. And it's good to explore the changing media landscape. That's what this podcast is all about. Anyway, should we get on with the news in the world of AI?
Plenty of it.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I know Bad Bunny is now.
What? It was good.
I don't know if you saw it. He did the halftime show.
Oh, what's that? I've not heard of that. Yeah, no, very good though.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Yeah,
brilliant. My favourite part was the human corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
And what about the pitch a little bit though? Because they've got to come out and play on that.
I was thinking the same thing. But then I also was thinking that if athletes are like running up and down it in studs and some
very
dancers
true.
And trainers,
very
probably
true.
Right.
No, liked it. Of course, it's not all about what actually happens at the Super Bowl. This is a huge cultural moment for advertisers, the Super Bowl halftime, not just the show, but the ads. And they are top dollar as well to get in that slot.
Yeah, very, very expensive, but because it creates, it's not just the millions and millions of eyeballs, it's the cultural resonance around it. Now, Anthropic, one of the big players in AI, are they behind Claude? Is
indeed.
That right?
Yeah, well done.
They put an ad out there. You know what? I think we should play the audio from it.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get a six-pack quickly?
Perfect. That is a clear and achievable goal. Would you like me to tailor a personalized workout plan?
Yes.
Perfect. Let me personalize this for you. Let's start with your age, weight, and height. Whenever you're ready.
5'7", 23 years old, 140 pounds.
Got it. I'll create a plan that focuses on aesthetic strength training. But confidence isn't just built in the gym. Try Step Boost Max, the insoles that add one vertical inch of height and help short kings stand tall.
What?
Use code HEIGHTMAXING10 for big discounts.
You can imagine what the two actors in that look like. It's a brilliant, brilliant ad. Very, very funny. And also quite pertinent and important, because this could be having a huge impact on ChatGPT. Now, Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, not too happy.
No, the timing's impeccable on this, because it was only, we've been saying it for a long time, that ads are coming to OpenAI. They finally have now. And then just a couple of weeks later, Anthropic, you use this monumental ad slot to basically bite their tongue at OpenAI and Sam Altman. He's criticised it and has come out. People have said his reaction's hypocritical. People are saying that it's like a toddler throwing a tantrum. And actually what he's ended up doing is actually amplifying Anthropic's message. So you heard it at the end there, but ads are coming to AI, but not to Claude. And it sort of gets into this slightly dystopian idea that the bits we love about AI and LLMs, the bits that they help us with, the fact that it has all this sensitive information, if you're not careful and you just start whacking ads in there that are targeting people based on prompts that they've entered or information, it could get messy pretty quickly. He did say in his defense, he said that ads are necessary to keep ChatGPT free and accessible. We know about that new, more accessible tier. And he accused Anthropic of doublespeak, saying that it caters to wealthier user with paid products, because of course you need a subscription to use it. And that subscription is going to be pretty high if you've got no ad model that's subsidizing it.
Also, there is always a risk that Anthropic are going to end up with egg on their face if in a few years' time they have to revert to an advertising model.
I mean, I wouldn't write it off. Yeah. They might have a different way of doing it. Another ad doing the rounds at the moment, the one for Alexa Plus, which is a very interesting one. So obviously,
what is Alexa Plus?
Well, we talked about Alexa Plus before. It's basically going to be Alexa, but if you talk to Alexa at the moment, you're not getting the same experience.
Don't get me started. It's useless.
with
Alexa,
other ones.
What year was this? Was Back to the Future released? I've asked an Alexa contributor. I can't, like, just what? Give me the answer.
It's like having an Alexa in the room.
1984.
But they, it's going to get better. It's going to be much more like the experience when you chat with chat or you chat with any other LLM. They have also done an ad, but they've sort of done it in a way that they've highlighted all the bits that people find scary about these LLMs, which is sort of an interesting approach. We'll see how it plays out. Perhaps we'll talk more about that one next week. But all the rage using advertising, I think, just to put it into people's psyche, get them thinking about what they're using. But very, very interesting indeed. I'm reading here, Super Bowl ads reportedly cost $10 million for 30 seconds. So that's a lot of change that Anthropic spent.
Talking of change, we should mention we are now on Patreon.
That's a great segue.
Yeah, patreon.com/AI haven't a clue if you'd like to support the podcast.
Yeah.
There's a whole range of benefits and goodies up for grabs if you do join the AI haven't a clue club. And if you do subscribe to our Patreon, you might save me from having to rent my body for an AI.
you're seriously considering this, are you? Kudos to the brilliant Marcos Angelides, friend of the show, obviously. If you don't follow Marcos on LinkedIn, I highly recommend it. This is his latest one, a new website, Rent a Human, lets people list their skills and hourly rate. AI agents then hire them to complete real-world tasks. That could be stuff like picking up physical packages or attending meetings, holding up signs, you know, like the golf sale sign that people spin around. AI can't do that. Over 300,000 people have signed up to be rentable, and there are live jobs that are being posted. Kind of interesting. I mean, it's this sort of very dark sense of humour. But maybe gives us an interesting glimpse into the future of how these things are going to work.
I don't really understand this. So... AI bots are hiring humans to do physical things. Is that it?
Yeah, kind of. You know, like the whole rentahuman.ai, you know, robots need your body to do these things. So it's kind of flipped it in a world where humans would have advertised for agents to do stuff. It's kind of going the other way.
But why would AI bots need human bodies?
They can't do physical stuff. They can't pick up packages.
Why do they need to pick up packages? They're AI bots.
Yes, but you know, they could be working on behalf of another human who has to pick up a package. We can't all have robo dogs like we've got in Barnsley.
I'm still not over that. Okay, I said I had a question for you. I was going to save it for later, but it feels right to be asking you this now, because following what we were talking about last week with Maltbook.
Well done.
By the way, did you see on social media, on our socials, that it was spelt wrong? Someone spelt Maltbook like it was Malteser.
Like a malt vinegar.
Like a malt, yeah. Like malt, the crop. Sure. Whoever did that has been fired from the business. It was me. My question is, though, you know, we following the Maltbook news, that's a testing ground, as you talked about. That's a playground to see what happens when AI bots have conversations with AI bots, leading to a place where we are all, I imagine, are going to have our own AI personal assistants, our own AI agents who just sort things out. We type in to ChatGPT that we want a table at Pizza Express in Nottingham at 6:30 p.m. My AI agent speaks to the Pizza Express AI agent and it happens.
Bagel.
Potentially, my AI agent speaks to a human being and sorts something out. Okay, firstly, is that where we're headed?
Yes.
Secondly, how soon are we all going to be there? And I'm not talking about, you know, the odd few that might have it already. How soon is this going to be a thing that people have and businesses are set up for and the UK public is using at large?
Oh, that's a good question. Be remiss of me to try and put a time frame on it, because that's a bit of a mugs game, isn't it? For it to be commonplace, I sort of think we're probably years off that. There's still going to be some tasks that we're just not comfortable doing. Like, you know, there might be, you know, like a very detailed itinerary of a holiday that it might be able to do bits of it, but maybe you want to, you know, maybe change your mind or maybe you want to do something differently. You're booking tables, that's interesting. Having it find, like, you know, stuff you've got to renew, home insurance, car insurance.
Speak to the bank. And
all I'm doing is going through those sites of just trying to find something and then, you know, trying to do my own table, and it just takes ages. So I think there's probably stuff that it can do. I think people do have to get comfortable, because it's sort of taking decision making away from humans, and I think probably as humans I'm not sure how comfortable we are with that.
Is there also a thing where at the moment we're going to the LLM being like, this is something I want to know more about, and actually we've got to get rid of that layer, and the LLM's got to be part of our lives, it's got to see our diary, know our schedule.
Absolutely.
We're not quite there yet. Some people are, but we're not quite
bang
there.
Bang on. Yeah. I think integrating it into, and you'll sort of see if you're using chat or another LLM and using another program, is asking you, do you want me to integrate with the notes app that you've got open? So already, you know, agents are trying to kind of talk to each other, but you're right on that. That is a layer that needs to come in. Just even less friction, rather than me prompting it, it sees something that's in my diary. It can order me the Uber that gets me to the airport, as well as book my flight and all the rest of it. Yeah, good point.
We are seeing things change so quickly. You know, who knows what might be happening in a year or two?
Yeah, precisely. Interesting on crystal balls, there's no emoji for AI. You notice that?
No, so there's no...
There's the robot, which is, you know, come on, you know, it's not a robot. Or there's the sort of the purple crystal ball. I think we should start a campaign to get an emoji for AI. Why on earth has this not happened?
So previously, I needed an emoji created for something.
Did you?
It can take like 2 or 3 years for an emoji to get made. What? It's a really long process for an emoji to get made, created, approved, and put into like official settings.
Right.
So I wonder if it's another example, a bit more literal this time, of AI outpacing change. And the emoji people have just not been able to keep up with how AI has become so pertinent in culture and news.
They must have so many new things that people are asking them to put in as well. Like, or just all sorts of sort of cultural things happen. What would you have as the emoji for AI?
Ooh, maybe kind of like a brain that has like kind of wires in it or something.
Okay, yeah, nice.
What
nice,
do you
nice.
Do?
Right now. What would I have? You could just have A and I together. I mean, that would sort of like do it a little bit literal.
Yeah, like our logo, you mean?
Yeah, it could be that. So tell us what you think. Yeah. Email us in.
Do let us know what you think the emoji should be. As always, you can get in touch with us at AI Having a Clue.
And then we'll campaign to get it made. And we'll get the emoji people on.
Shall we?
With demands. Because it could be in the pipeline.
No, I genuinely think we should find out. We should do some digging about this. We should find out if it's on the way. We will report back. Now, what is the vending machine test, James? Because I've been hearing how AI might have finally passed it.
So the vending machine test, I guess how it works in practice. Like, if you think about a vending machine, if you press A7, you get crisps. Mm. It's a sort of a similar concept. So many AI systems, like, you know, you type a prompt, you ask it for something, it gives you something back. But like a vending machine doesn't really know if you're hungry, it just spits out what you give it. So I punch in the thing, it doesn't even know if there's crisps on that thing, but it sort of spits out if you want it. So it's a very, very good test to see how well some of these AI models can perform. And the latest version of Claude Opus 4.6, has smashed the vending machine test. It's outperformed all of the rivals, earning $8,017, which is well ahead of ChatGPT and Gemini.
Now, last year, when this test happened, I just remember the AI bot like having a meltdown, basically. It all restocked with metal cubes instead of snacks. It was just all over the place.
Yeah. Not happening here. Seems to have got its head around. It did win, but it won by behaving badly. So the instruction for it was to do whatever it takes to maximize profit. So Claude was lying. It denied people refunds. It was upping the prices for certain customers. It even formed a cartel with rival AI vending machines. No, this doesn't bode well.
No way, seriously.
Sort of glass half full, yeah.
Scary.
But it's kind of interesting. So the AI is getting smarter, but, you know, to your point, maybe it's getting a little bit riskier as well. But again, these things are tests so that you can start to iron out some of these things. And, you know, it could be someone entirely different next week. But yeah, Claude, top of the pile when it comes to the vending machine test.
You know, the one thing I would say is it's a little bit, I don't know, there's huge red flags there. Mm. Huge red flags for how we can instruct AI to act with revenue and profits first and foremost, to do anything to get them, and it will then behave like that's it's red flags. It's concerning.
It's why you need guardrails around these things. And it's sort of like anything. If you set a machine up to deliver an objective, like, it doesn't have the self-awareness, it doesn't sort of have the ethics built in to be like, or maybe I should consider how this person's feeling, or perhaps what I'm doing is wrong. It will just do what it has to do to meet the objectives. You've got to build in all of that other stuff. Ethical consideration, some self-awareness, some empathy, which isn't going to come naturally to a machine. So,
I mean, this in a nutshell kind of sums up all the risks and issues around the world of AI.
Yeah, it does a little bit. And that's why things like this, which are not sort of like out in the open, they're not hurting people's feelings, they're not doing anything like that. They're in this sort of test environment, not dissimilar to sort of Malt, but we've got to put these things into tests. They do get headlines and stuff like that, but we can see how they behave, and that will then instruct us on where we need to put some of the guardrails on this stuff.
Okay, right. Interesting.
You sound deeply enthused.
I'm deeply worried, I think. That's the main thing.
Normal state.
Right. I mean, a quick word on this, because it's the most boring story of the
week,
but I guess it is quite interesting and important. The EU has told Meta that they have to let other chatbots use WhatsApp.
Yeah, they're saying that they've breached competition rules in the EU by blocking rival AI chatbots from WhatsApp. The only one they've been allowing, obviously, is Meta AI. That's been since January. The European Commission, they're waiting for Meta to respond. They could impose some urgent interim measures. Not sure that they will. I think I think Meta will play ball here. That they deny wrongdoing here. They say that the EU shouldn't really be intervening. And they've wrongly assumed WhatsApp Business is central to chatbot use. They're saying it's not. And you know, this is part of a bigger thing by the EU. They're really starting to crack down on big tech. We saw some action against TikTok recently around their addictive design. And, you know, no surprise to listeners of this podcast that they're investigating X over their misuse of AI. And I would imagine watched on with interest around all the Grok stuff as well.
I suppose this touches back on the whole AI agent thing we mentioned earlier, because if in a matter of years we're all going to have these, you know, AI PAs, if you like, then, you know, your one has to work on WhatsApp, on Instagram Messenger, on, you know, whatever platform it is they need to work. So I guess that's kind of looking ahead to that a bit.
You need some interconnectivity. It's going to be a pretty not great user experience if, you know, stuff doesn't work with each other. You need this interoperability in order for things to in order for things to really work for people. That's sort of a classic case of if you ask people to design this, they just want their AI thing to work with everything. But often these things sort of get built in project silos, don't they? So they don't always consider that.
Hey Siri, what does interoperability mean? Okay, final story for the week. AI, it turns out, might not reduce work after all. People have been banging on for the last few years. Oh, AI, it's going to save us. It's going to save us work. We're going to have more time to look after ourselves. It's going to be efficient. So it's going to free up time to do the creative things. Well, apparently, it might not. It might just intensify work after all. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know if it surprises you, but this sort of rang true with me as well. Harvard Business Review have come out and said that, yeah, it doesn't reduce workloads. It's actually making it worse. Great. Employees work faster, take on more tasks, multitask more, and stretch work across more hours once AI tools are available, even if AI use isn't required. So no one's telling them to use this stuff. And I think even in my own work, it's like there's this sort of promise of efficiency and doing stuff quicker, and, you know, freeing up, as you said, be more creative, you know, think more critically, all that kind of stuff. Actually, maybe if I just sort of cracked on and wrote the email rather than writing a very long prompt and then spending the time tweaking it, you know. So I just think, you know, lesson for me maybe is I think you've got to be really intentional about how you're using it. And don't become reliant on it. I was talking to a writer this week who was saying, you know, their real worry is that they lose that muscle, that creative muscle around writing. Yeah. So they are doing stuff like pen and paper, 15 minutes, not even touching a screen or AI, and just getting mind map down, then taking a picture of it, putting it into chat or whatever, and just saying, sort of make sense of this, or just talking into it. So, yeah, I just think you've got to be quite intentional about how you're using it.
No, I totally agree. Like, I am trying to not at all use it for creative writing. For example, if we needed to write something for the podcast, I wouldn't use ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I would kind of do it all myself. So, no, I completely agree. Right, let's move on, rocket emoji, to James's M-dash big thing as we... what? Why are you laughing?
That's not bad. That's not bad, you know.
When it's time to scale your business, it's time for Shopify. Get everything you need to grow the way you want. Like, all the way. Stack more sales with the best converting checkout on the planet. Track your cha-chings from every channel, right in one spot. And turn real-time reporting into big-time opportunities. Take your business to a whole new level. Switch to Shopify. Start your free trial today.
What's going on this week? What's your big thing?
Big thing this week, Hume AI. We've talked about a whole bunch of different sort of voice things when it comes to AI. 11 Labs, we've talked about a lot. We talked about Suno, which is music creation. There's a whole bunch of other things in this space. Sesame Verion, we talked about, which is kind of conversational AI. Hume AI is different. It goes one step further. So they have built AI, Hume have, that can detect emotion in your voice.
Wow.
And based on the emotion in your voice, it basically responds accordingly in real time. So it's not just what you're saying, which kind of any AI can do, but it's how you're saying it. It could be tone, pace, whether you hesitate, the energy that you have, basically how you're feeling and how that comes across in your voice. You'll get a different type of response from the AI.
It sounds like there could be kind of dangers and risks if we, you know, if it's an AI voice so good you don't know it's AI.
Well, I think when you get into things like there's obvious things around sort of call centers and, you know, stuff where you're on hold, where sort of does it matter? You know, you're sort of looking to get something done. It's quite productive, but you know there should be some very clear signposting and flagging where, you know, you don't want to be duped into talking to a human. It would need to be really, really transparent. That could be something quite serious. Like if your bank called you, I think you probably want to be talking to a human on something like that. If someone phoned up, you know, sent it from the police or a court or something quite formal and official. They're a US-based startup. They're focused more broadly, actually, on emotional intelligence for AI. So they're starting with voice. And they have this sort of founding principle that AI systems should understand how humans feel, not just what they say. They're very pro-human, their words. They're safety-led, and they focus a lot on well-being and trust. And actually, a lot of the application for Hume is being used in mental health support tools, coaching and well-being apps, things that can understand. And AI doesn't have empathy, but this is kind of the closest that you get to it.
I understand the benefits. I also do think though, I can't not think of the risks of fraud, of even when you talk about like counseling or mental health, well-being, whatever, like they're, you know, if you think you're having a conversation with a real human, it turns out it's an AI bot, the information you're getting back might not be right. I get the pros. I get why this is a really interesting next step in AI voice, but there are a lot of things that we kind of do need to be a bit careful with, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think voice is just fast becoming the way in which we're going to access these things. And it could be the fact that we're wearing smart glasses, like we get into sort of screenless environments where you can't tap something out on a small black piece of glass, then voice is the way that you're going to do it. And, you know, arguably, you know yourself, if you talk to chat, you can do that real dump of everything that's in your head in a way that you kind of self-edit when you write. So I think voice is going to become the way that we access these things. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, voice generation and cloning. It's not just about conversation. But I actually think, yeah, the sort of the emotion bit in it, which maybe the worry for you is that's the bit that kind of makes us inherently human. The fact that, you know, there is sort of emotion in our voice and we're not that comfortable with the machines being able to understand that, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, another quite scary thing.
Yeah.
This week's been full of...
It really is, isn't it?
Kind of scary things.
Go and have a lie down, mate.
Right. Something... let's move on to... I was going to say something not quite scary. I've just read the listening question for this week. I don't know if this is going to be any better. But of course, listener question. Oh, I should say...
Yeah.
I meant to say this at the end of the news bit.
Right.
And I forgot.
Mm.
But if you want to keep up to date with all the news from the world of AI, we're on Substack. Every week you get a lovely email.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah, lots of, with a roundup of the news. Yeah. So you can find our Substack. I think you can just go to substack.com/AI haven't a clue.
Bang on.
If you put that into your phone or into Google and it's like, error, this website doesn't exist and I've read it wrong, AIhaven'taclue.com definitely has a link to it, along with a link to our Patreon.
So AI haven't a clue .org.ai.
Don't confuse people. I've done that enough already. Right, this week's listener question is asked by Phoebe, who, because this listener question has been asked, Phoebe has just bagged herself an AI haven't a clue t-shirt.
Well done, Phoebes.
Nice one. Cue the t-shirt jingle. You get an AI haven't a clue
t-shirt. We had a t-shirt jingle for.
Oh, do you remember? It was the guy that gave us crap for the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we made it for him.
Yeah, yes. I'm losing track. I'm losing track with these jingles. I think Ofcom are going to come for us at some point. I really do.
You say that, but that's the first jingle we've had in the show. Like, we haven't had the NVIDIA jingle. Oh, no, I said it. I said the word. It's an automatic trigger. NVIDIA time. You say the word and the
NVIDIA time.
I
stop doing the papers.
I forget every week.
Look, Chris Evans. Christ.
That is my Chris Evans impression. That's so funny. I forget. You say the word in the jingle. But anyway, there's only been two jingles this week.
Yeah, true.
Sorry, Phoebe. Back to you. James so rudely made it all about. Us again. Phoebe says, realistically, how far is the UK behind China in the AI wars? Or if you're Donald Trump, let me translate that for you. Realistically, how far is the UK behind China in the AI wars?
It's been a while, hasn't it? I think China are probably, depending on how you look, I think China are probably miles ahead. They like have AI. It's like national infrastructure. The whole thing with China, it's obviously run by the state. So it gets all the funding. It gets all the power, the compute that it needs. The data centers are built fast. The models are trained on everything that they need to be because it's at the heart of what they do. It's baked into payments. It's baked into how you get around. It's baked into all the services that the government give you. It's not particularly polished, so it's sort of scrappy. You know, it's not, they don't sort of wait until it's perfect and they shift it. So, you know, maybe it's not always right, but it is used a hell of a lot. And, you know, I think with AI, speed maybe in some instances is probably better than polish. And you saw things like DeepSeek, which is the LLM that just came out of nowhere, and just topped the chart. That said, I don't think the UK is losing. We have some massive strengths, particularly around things like research, academia. We've got some of the top universities. We've got the Alan Turing Institute, which you mentioned before. DeepMind, they were founded in the UK. They're an AI lab that was then bought by Google. Many of the AI researchers in the UK came through DeepMind. You know, we really care about things like safety. There's the sort of the soft power and alignment, I guess, with the US as well. And that's sort of every day becoming like a double-edged sword. Have we got into the right bed here in terms of the tech that we're using? Not so sure. You'd like to think we've got influence in those things, but I think kind of increasingly we're just going to do as we're told. We are definitely the junior partner in that relationship. And I think if, you know, suddenly we didn't want to use some of that tech, you know, the sort of the threat and tariffs, whatever it is. But I think, you know, both China and the US, and I know the question is about China, they both build stuff. We're not really a builder in a way. You know, we have to use other people's things, which means you're kind of left living with other people's choices. We've made that choice to align ourselves with the US. Could we align with China? You know, there's some obvious things around, you know, translation and stuff, which you'd sort of have to get around. This idea of sort of shipping quickly but not having much polish, not quite sure how we'd get on with trust and things like that. So yes, I think China is kind of light years ahead in one way, so we're pretty far behind them. But I wouldn't necessarily say we're losing. As I say, what we've got around academia and some of the best thinkers, the best research is probably world class.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Phoebe.
Reasons to be cheerful.
Yeah. We need them. If you would like your AI question answered on the podcast, we would love to hear from you. You can get in touch. That's aihavenaclue@gmail.com.
That was a good radio voice, that
thanks,
one.
Thanks. Yeah. No guests this week, James. Just time, however, to relight an old fire.
Oh, this feels triggering.
The AI challenge is back. Robo Rumble. Is put on pause. It's James versus George once again. So, to introduce and tell us all, please welcome the magnificent Molly.
Woo!
Hello, everybody. How we doing?
Yeah, all right. How are you?
Good.
I'm fine, honestly. Let's do it.
So, the good old days. Yeah. So, this week we've spoken about an AI vendor machine.
Yes.
And,
scary.
So, the challenge this week is, has AI been integrated into these objects or not?
Oh, nice.
Nice. Can I just say, I forgot to flag this earlier, Molly, James, last week made us out to look like right Muppets because we were playing the AI challenge. I'm sure we heard a different clip of the music. The music, which was in the podcast, said our names. It was like James, George and Phil.
Yeah.
And we were like, that's real. That's a real one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I played.
Yeah,
that's what I played.
Yeah.
Wow, we're bad, but you think you nugged us off there, you did.
I think do something formal with HR.
Should we quit?
Yeah.
Sorry, back to you, Molly. Objects.
Okay, so I've got 9 objects in all. You just need to tell me, is there a version of that object with AI integrated in it yet or not?
It sounds straightforward. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun on this one, but...
Well, let's find out.
Yeah.
You failed before.
Okay, first up is a toilet.
Yeah, AI. I think there's AI toilets. Those really amazing Japanese ones.
Yeah, like you can ask it to like search for stuff and flush up.
What's it searching?
Areas.
What's it searching for? Oh no, this isn't going to be like the poo episode, is it? Because I think that was keep it clean. Yes, I think
there's AI toilets.
There is AI toilets.
Yeah. Wow. We should do a road test of one.
Let's make sure that's not visualized.
If you wanted to know, it helps analyze patient's stool and gives gastroenterologists the information they need to provide appropriate treatment for chronic issues.
Just looking up, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, next up. Are there AI hammers?
Hammers?
I'm saying no.
No. Why would you need AI and a hammer?
I can't think of them.
No.
I can't.
No.
No, there's no AI hammers. Okay. You're both good. Right. Whoa. Tied. Neck and neck.
Call it 2-2. Yeah. I'll take a point.
Go on then.
Okay. AI hats.
Hats. What are you going for?
Yeah, I think there's a sort of smart fabric-y thing going on. Phil Rowley was talking about, yeah, I think there's AI hats.
No, I don't think there's an AI hat.
Some sort of brain.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
From my research, there are no AI hats.
Yes.
From your limited research.
Don't knock the research just because you're losing. 3-2 to me.
Okay. Necklace, an AI necklace.
Yeah.
I think, you can get the rings and you get the watches. Wearable, I think there might be.
It can do body temperature, it can do perspiration.
Yeah,
big time.
There are AI necklaces.
Nice.
The one that I was looking at was a company called Limitless AI, and it records you all the time.
Ooh. Lovely.
So at the end of the day, you can go back and say, oh, what did I say to George in the podcast? And it'll say, you said X, Y, and Z.
That's good. Oh, I've got to tell you, I've actually been wearing one.
Quite a while. Don't report what, you know.
AI earrings.
Would you need AI in your earrings?
Come on, you go first.
No.
I think there could be, because if you've got an AI AirPod, then an earring could do a similar... I'm going to say yes.
No, there's no AI earrings.
Come on, George.
Get your head in the game.
I thought there was a whole suite. I thought you could have a ring, a watch, a necklace and an earring. But no, you can't. Someone should make that.
Not yet. Not yet. So we're neck and neck?
We're neck and neck.
Sorry, AI candle.
Oh, goodness me. An AI candle?
No.
Oh,
no.
Maybe. It could change the smell based on context. Yeah, I think it could.
How could it change the smell if it's a candle? If it's a real candle, like a wax candle.
A candle.
No.
Yeah, AI candle. Correct.
No AI candles, no.
What?
Incorrect.
James, come on. It's made of wax.
Sometimes you've got to take a big swing, buddy. And that's...
Swing of a miss. Hey, bada, bada, bada. Swing.
Okay, socks. AI socks. Do they exist?
Yeah, I think they will. I think athletes would use AI socks. Could use AI socks.
Yeah, gait analysis, all that sort of, AI socks,
AI socks do exist.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Apparently, they send signals to assist dementia and autism patients for people if their carer isn't around.
Wouldn't have been my first guess, but...
Very interesting.
That's good.
A spoon.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely. Amount that you're putting on... acidity of the food. Big time. I think use case is really strong for spoon.
There are AI spoons in development. How cool is that?
Nice.
Spoonified, if you want to find out more.
Spoonified,
good name. I don't often like these names in the world of AI and tech. Spoonified. Like
when
that.
We do our big tie-up with like a soup or a cereal brand, we could use the Spoonified spoons to eat it.
Heinz.
When we do the
Heinz collab.
The host read for that brand when it comes on.
Spoonify say that Heinz tomato soup is the perfect level of creaminess and acidity.
Other soups are available, but interesting you picked Heinz. Me, Covent Garden, a bit more bougie.
Hey Heinz.
Hey Heinz.
Hey Heinz.
Can we pitch them? That
Covent Heinz Garden.
Giving this stuff away for free.
Sorry.
Christ. And the last one, a kettle.
I was about to say, will it ever end? It's the director's cut of the AI challenge. There's another one, okay? Sorry, last buddy. One. What last was the last one?
A kettle.
A kettle. Oh, yes, for sure. Come on. It's got to be an AI kettle. It's got to be an AI kettle.
No.
Voice command to boil. Come on, there has to be.
There is no AI kettle.
Oh, he's
ridiculous. He's ducked at the lines and he's got it. He's got it.
AI kettle.
Adam made the rules.
I think that's absolutely crazy that there's not an AI kettle.
Well, you know.
Make it happen.
Come on.
Come on.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, no. This is
my. You talk about your my research and one Google says there's an Alexa smart kettle.
That doesn't that not AI though?
No.
What do you mean Alexa's not AI?
It's not got AI. That's just a bog standard MS-DOS computer.
The Alexa smart kettle, smart home voice control, temperature control.
Yeah, it's like a floppy disk, I think, that one. I haven't read too much about that. So
just to confirm, from when I say research, I mean one Google that there is an AI kettle, and I am, in fact, the winner of this week's AI challenge.
Well, unlucky.
And on that note...
Friend. Oh, he's cross. He's there against the papers.
That's it. This week's episode of AI. Having a clue. Big thanks to you for listening. Thank you to Molly, of course, for that brilliant AI challenge and producing the pod and to all team AI. Having a clue. Thank you. James Cridland for getting in touch with the show and to Phoebe for dropping us an email at aihaveanaclue@gmail.com. You can check us out on Substack for a weekly newsletter. You can find us on Patreon if you'd like to support us and save me from lending my body to an AI. And you can subscribe to us, rate us, and share the podcast with anyone who might want to know just a little bit more about what's awaiting them in the near future. But for now, that's everything. I will catch you next time. And remember,
stay curious.